The Doug Wright Show. Top newsmakers only Doug has access to. Answering questions only Doug can ask on KSL News Radio.
A couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago this Thursday night, I hosted Let Me Speak to the Governor with Governor Gary Herbert, and bam, we opened the phone lines, and it was just bam, 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 bam. The phones lit up immediately. Five of the calls, five, were about wood burning. And we tried to distill it down into one, but even at that, later on in the program, another person who had several things on his mind brought up wood burning. It came up over and over and over again on Let Me Speak to the Governor. And it's a hot, hot topic. It truly is. And now, apparently, as we work through what to do with wood-burning stoves, whether or not during the inversion season to just ban them entirely, Salt Lake County has taken some steps on their own, not only banning on a red burn day, but also not just recommending, but banning on a yellow burn day as well, where it's recommended but not mandatory. Red days, of course, are. And so there's a lot of confusion right now. And then we got a phone call, and I appreciated the phone call this morning, and said, well, you know, everybody's kind of talking about wood burning ban just being off the table. That was a headline in the paper. We had talked about it. I said, that might not necessarily be the case. So I thought, okay, well, let's go to the source. Let's talk with the Division of Air Quality. And Director Bryce Bird from the Air Quality Board is joining us on the line. Bryce, first of all, thank you for joining us. And wow, am I right or am I right on this one? This has been a hot topic. Man, you talk about something that has everybody's attention in the state of Utah, regardless of where you stand on the issue. Seems like wood burning is just practically at the top of everybody's list right now.
Well, thank you, Doug, and it really is on both sides. We're also hearing feedback about the impacts. You know, people who are living next to somebody who burns that maybe doesn't want to be that neighbor, but is impacted on a daily basis. And so we're also hearing feedback that they were looking for this as an opportunity to clean up their air on every day of the year. And so there are both sides of this, and certainly on the wood burning side, understanding that there are real value impacts with burning. In many cases, it's because it's a choice to save money, that there's yeah. not other options to heat, and certainly this is something that we're gaining more information about, and really that's what the public participation process is all about, to get the impacts, to understand the issues, and then make good decisions based on those.
I have a little bit of a funny story. Dee and I have been talking about perhaps building a house, and we were sitting down talking with some of the builders and some of the people that were designing, and they were talking about, well, we could put a fireplace here, and we could put a, and I said, well, will any of them be wood burning? And all of a sudden there was this big pause. And everybody looked at me like I was an eco-terrorist. You know, I went, whoa, okay, I get it, I get it. But, you know, and you know, they laughed, of course, and, you know, they've been teasing me mercilessly on it. But, boy, the lines are drawn here. But I think you hit something important. A lot of people in our area really have been steeped on being able to take care of yourself, being prepared, having water, you know, down in the basement, having your food storage in the basement, making sure you have tons of batteries, making sure that you can take care of things in the event of an emergency, making sure you have your 72-hour kit right there by the door, down in the garage maybe, even in your trunk, and making sure you have a good stack of wood in the back so you can keep your family warm if the power goes out. That's kind of our culture, isn't it?
It is, and you know, some of the maybe misperceptions about this is, you know, certainly the area that was covered, many people are commenting that don't live within those areas that are impacted now, and then certainly, you know, any reasonable application of this rule would not apply in emergency situations, so certainly if there was no power, if there was not other options to heat, that would be available. We're not proposing or promoting a requirement to remove them from houses, but they could still be used for emergencies. And that's exactly the information that we need to understand.
Right. There are so many questions right now, and I think misperceptions of what is happening. And as you mentioned, this isn't a statewide situation. There are many areas, including my home down in Eureka, where natural gas is not available. So everybody scrambles around and looks at all kinds of things. We use everything from propane to coal to heating oil to pellet stoves to, you name it, electricity in order to heat homes. But what is the reality? Where do we stand? And for the headlines that say wood burning ban coming off the table, where is the misperception? What is really happening?
Well, right now, the public comment is still period is still open. Following that collection of all the public comments, my staff will be looking at those comments and responding to each one. And in many cases, that may raise additional questions for more research and understanding on the issue. And that really is, again, that the purpose of that comment period. Then the package will be taken to the Air Quality Board for a final decision. I think that part of the communication that we're giving is really this was the intent of this public comment period. The board, when they proposed the rule, there were also a number of issues that were actually raised as questions as part of that proposal. So if you look at our air quality board packet, they're looking specifically about which areas it should apply to. Should it apply to all areas equally? Are there other concerns? And again, on that memo, it discussed several issues that we knew were problematic and certainly should be informed by public comment. So really, this is the process that was intended to
When do you think all of this will come to a head and some decisions and recommendations will be made and then where it goes from there?
Well, it'll be later this spring. But again, we don't make the decision ultimately, but our recommendation is probably going to be a re-proposal. So it wouldn't be a final action based on the recommendations that we've heard right now, but it would be an opportunity to readjust and re-propose the rule in a different form. Informed by the comments we have now, but then open this process again and roll it out one more time. You know, we need to make sure that we do it right. Of course, there are opportunities to always challenge rules and get them off the books, but it certainly is better to do the groundwork up front, get all the information out there, understand the issues, and then propose something that's both reasonable and effective to improve our air quality here along the Wasatch Front.
Who ultimately makes the decision? Is this legislative?
This is actually the appointed Air Quality Board. So it's a board that is appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. They serve terms of 4 years, and they represent various interests. So it is a statutory board that has the rulemaking authority here in the state with respect to air quality regulations.
Do you anticipate, regardless of what it is and what it contains, are we looking a year down the road? Are we looking at, you know, many things in the state of Utah that happen legislatively go into effect on either July 1 or on January 1? When the decision is made, the recommendation comes forward, the board makes its decision, whatever that decision is, when would it become statutory?
So as it was proposed, it would apply to the next winter season. So it would be at the fall of 2015 as that was originally proposed. But again, some of the comments we've heard is 1 year is too soon. You know, many people who rely on burning right now may already have 2 and 3 years of wood storage at their house. And also, I think the other compelling argument we've heard is that there is technology that can improve the smoke from all of these appliances. And so maybe the first step and a focus is to give people time to move to cleaner burning technology and work through the incentive programs that we have now to do that. I'll just mention one. We have last year the legislature appropriated $500,000 to convert sole source homes that were already registered with us to be able to convert their homes to a cleaner burning alternative. That registry is now open again, so people can now sign up if they missed the opportunities in the past. Great. And the other benefit was that they would be able to take advantage of this program right now, and if it is their desire to move away from burning and go to a natural gas furnace in their home.
Great. Bryce, I really appreciate the information. We'll watch this closely, and I appreciate you clarifying some of the issues surrounding wood burning and where we're going.